Who left their junk up here? So what is going on? So when I used to work in schools back in the day when I was employed, I had a real job. One of the highlights was the teacher's lounge. If you go to the teacher's lounge, of course, one of the things was teachers actually, like I was a school psychologist, this is a little background, too much information. The point is I didn't have a schedule. But when the bell rang, the teachers had to leave. Like they had, like, and so periodically I could go into the teacher's lounge all the way through the day. And every time, the first moment I walked in, I could say, oh, there's treats today. Like it was the first time that I had seen it, even though I'd been there like six times all day. And so periodically, people would bring in things to the teacher's lounge, and maybe you do this at your work, or maybe you do this in your family. You bring in new things to see if they're good. Like, and then if people like them, you claim them. Oh yes, I brought that. But if they don't, you're just like, God, I don't know what that is. That's terrible. So one of the things, this never happened to you guys apparently. So one of the things that happens in that setting, whether it's at work or a family gathering or at school, is somebody will say, oh, that's so good. Do you have a recipe? Do you have the recipe? That's so good. Do you have the recipe? Wow. We are going to Happy Pi Day, by the way. We interrupt this regularly scheduled sermon series on Daniel. Like, what's that got to do with pi? To bring you a Happy Pi Day. For those of you that don't know, pi is a math, that, like if you're not a math dork like me, anybody else a math dork? Like, I love math so much. And pi is that magic number that is the ratio between the circumference of a circle and the diameter of a circle, and it's a never-ending number. But it starts, even though it's never-ending, it's kind of an eternal number. It has something to do with God, but I didn't know how to make it about God, so we're just going to skip that part. It starts with the numbers 3.14, and today is March 3.14, the 14th. Oh, isn't that cool? It's also probably not really significant, and it probably doesn't mean anything, but why not have pi to celebrate it? Like, that makes a lot of sense. So we are going to do something about pi today. That's so cool. All right. One of the things that I did, of course, like anybody else, I prepped for this by doing what you would have done. You went to the scriptures and you said, gee, I wonder what chapter 3, verse 14 says in every book in the Bible. Pretty cool, huh? And I got good news for you. To give me more material, it actually, the first four digits of pi, or 5, are 3.1415. So we can use 14 and 15 and still be on Pi Day. So I went right to the scriptures. I started Genesis. Like, isn't that where you start? So here's Genesis chapter 3.1415. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. Dust pie, anybody? And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring and yours. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Wait! It's the first mention of Jesus in the Bible. That's got to be a sign. So I went to Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. That's so cool. We're on something now. Like, I'll bet I can just go through the whole Bible, read every 3:14, and we're going to have something. So I went to Leviticus. From what you offer, you are to present this food offering to the Lord, the internal organs and all the fat that is connected to them, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins and the long lobe of the liver, which you will remove with the kidneys. Now, I've heard of kidney pie. But when you did the survey, did anybody say kidney pie was their favorite? Did Will there, in fact, be any kidney pie out there today? And first of all, I didn't want to use the word loins in church. That just seemed like it's wrong. I mean, I know it's in the Bible, but we're just not supposed to talk about it. All right, so maybe there's a couple misses. I went to Numbers. There was something about counting people. And then I went to Deuteronomy. Jair, a descendant of Manasseh, took the whole region of Argob as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites. It was named after him. So to this day, Bashan is called Havoth Jair. And I gave Gilead to Machir. All right, that's not going to work. Let's try something else. Let's move on. Let's get to the New Testament. And so in the New Testament, one of my very favorite verses, this is a verse that I think we can actually model our lives off of. And here's what we're going to say today. I'm going to give you the end of the story right now. Some of us have all the ingredients of a Christian life, but we haven't put it together into a product that anybody else can benefit from, and that as if we are going to follow Jesus, our life has to be like a pie that someone wants the recipe for. And so hear from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, 3.1415. But even if you should suffer from what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Let's just pray for a moment. God, we love you so much. We thank you for joy. We thank you for pie. We thank you for all of the sensory delights that you've given us in this world. And it even says in your word, you've given us everything for our enjoyment, that we are supposed to be people of joy that reflect the purpose for our creation. We are to be people of hope. And if there was ever a time when people needed hope, it's today. Now that's true for us. It's been true forever. You've called your people to be people of hope. And I pray, God, that as we consider this ridiculous topic of pies today, that in the midst of it, you will remind us of the hope that we have in you, and that we will be compelled to share that hope with others in such a way that they would ask us, why do you have so much hope? God, that's our plea today. That's our prayer. Amen. Okay, you've heard the whole sermon. You can go. Like, that's it. You've heard everything that I'm going to say, but I got to take up a little more time than that. So I will go ahead and give you some things to think about. Conceptually, okay? So we're talking about our lives being a pie made up of ingredients. Now, this is good stuff here, but anybody want to come up and eat the Crisco right now? Like, this is what Crisco, it used to come in a tub, right? But now they bring in these little, like, butter things so they can make you think it's healthier. It's not. Anyway, but this is some Crisco here. Anybody want to come up and eat this? Anybody want just a spoonful of salt? You don't want any of this stuff all by itself. You want it combined. And so our point today is, how do we create a life that reflects the love of Jesus in us so that people taste it and they want the recipe? They want the perfect recipe of how to live their lives. Well, I'm going to give you four things that we need to do if we're going to do that. First of all, you've got to get the right cook. All right? Now, by the right cook, what I mean is nobody invented pie. It was passed down generation to generation by people who already knew how to do it. And at some time a long time ago, there was something that was kind of like pie that evolved into what we know as pie. But nobody just accidentally said, I think I'll try this, and it turned out like a pie. Like, that doesn't happen. Have your children, or if you have children, if you've known children, have you ever seen children make pies? They make them out of mud and sticks, okay? They're fun, but they are not good. Nobody wants to eat that pie. And so what you need is you've got to have the right cook to give you the instruction that you need in order to make the pie that you desire to have in your life. You need Jesus. Like, this is supposed to be the end of every sermon. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need a personal relationship with Jesus where he is in charge and explaining to you how to live life, not a partnership with Jesus where you guys are like, Jesus, what do you think about this? Well, I don't know. I don't think that's really the way I want to do it. I think I'd rather live this way. I'd rather do this. I'd rather have this part of my life in my control and this part of my life, okay, I'll do those things. And so if we are truly going to make a life, we have to swear allegiance to Jesus. And that comes through understanding how much we need Jesus. Some of us, honestly, some of us standing right here on this altar, on this podium, I'm the only one standing here, need to remember how desperately we need Jesus. How convicted by sin we are, how broken we are. And to be honest, sometimes this gets harder the older we get. We convince ourselves that maybe we've worked past our sin. Maybe we've worked past our brokenness. But if we're going to make a life that people want to taste, we've got to get an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus based on a complete and total abandonment to the one who saved us. As it turns out, the digits for pi are 3.14159. So if you round the 5, you get 3.1416. And if you put a little dash between the 1.4 and the 1.6, we can use 3 verses. Okay, you good with this? Because, are you okay with this? John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, 3.1416. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if you know the story, the people in the wilderness were just engaging in all kinds of ridiculous sin, and Moses was told, make a golden rat, because the rats were going around causing this disease and they were biting people. And hold this rat up on a stick and look at the rat. Look at the thing that's killing you. Look at this thing that's killing you. But a golden version of the thing that's killing you, and you will be saved. And the analogy for us is, look at the thing that's killing you, your sin on the cross. Look at the thing that's destroying your life and the life of everybody you know. Look at that sin. But a holy version of Jesus taking the sin on himself, and you will be saved. Are you saved? Some of us, honestly, need to start a true relationship with Jesus. And all of us daily need to renew a true and intimate relationship with Jesus. I've got to find out what I'm doing. Oh, yeah, Oswald Chambers. Some of you guys know Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. I've been using that as a devotional, phenomenal devotional from the early 1900s. This guy, like, in one page, he rips your heart out. It's amazing. Not every day, but many days. So I'm thinking about doing this sermon, and I get this from Oswald Chambers on February 27th. If you have My Utmost for His Highest, you can look this up. This is his quote. The reason that some of us are such poor specimens of Christianity is because we have no Almighty Christ. We have Christian attributes and experiences, but there is no abandonment to Jesus Christ. I don't know what that does to you, but that leaves me wondering if I'm making pie that anybody wants. Because I've been doing it my own way for a really long time. Very quickly, and I won't spend time on this. After beginning first with Jesus, there are also sort of junior cooks, people been cooking pie longer than you, people that have been cooking pie better than you, and we should be in relationship with people who know more than we do. But that is not the American way. The American way is, I can do it myself. And people will say things like this, well, I have to learn from my own mistakes. No, you don't. I mean, you can, but I promise you, you can learn from my mistakes, and I can learn from yours. We need mentors. We need fellow cooks. We need people who can teach us things that we can't see from ourselves, the way we fold in the ingredients and how we cut the apples and what spices we use. We need somebody that can help us with that. And in the American way, we're supposed to figure it out ourselves and be independent. And so we need some fellow cooks that can help us. All right, you gotta get the right cook. Gotta get the right recipe. Right, you need the right cook, you gotta have someone to teach you, but you also gotta get the right recipe. Like, you gotta gather all the ingredients together, and then you gotta have the right directions for what to do. So this is a famous, famous story in our family and other people as well. What we have right here is the 150th anniversary cookbook from First Baptist Church in Dubuque, Iowa. This was a classic thing. Now, this is from 1990, okay? So this is like, the pages are a little yellowed, and so are the people who wrote it. That's a little bit of a joke. But this was a classic thing that churches used to do. You guys probably have a Grace Point cookbook laying around somewhere, right? This was classic stuff. Now, to be fair, it's not all just women that put the recipes in, but especially in that time, it was very much the women that put the recipes in. And you would think, now, if you were going to find a recipe book that you could trust, come on. Am I right? It would be the church ladies on a thing called First Baptist Church. So a lady in the church at First Baptist where we were attending, a lady named Teresa Ott, she put in a recipe for, I wish I was making this up, like, this is so good, no goof pie crust. That's what I'm looking for, no goof pie crust, right? And so there are six ingredients listed for no goof pie crust, and then the directions. My wife gets the cookbook and she says, they left out one of the ingredients. And here's the thing. It's a church cookbook. But no matter how many times you make the no goof pie crust in this out of this cookbook, you're going to goof. It ain't going to work. Because you got the wrong source material. It might look good. It might have the right title. It might sound appealing to you. But if you are not using the correct source material, you are going to come up with philosophies and lifestyles and attitudes and ideas that are going to create flaws in the life you're trying to create that people would adapt. And we live in a time when there is so much source material for opinions and ideas and philosophies and application. And so you can go anywhere you want today, and you can find people that will give you a recipe for life that's flawed, but it'll sound good. And we got to have the right recipe. Well, where are we going to get the recipe? Well, that goes without saying. Oh, thanks, Jeff, for leaving this up here, because I don't have a Bible. I just bring along someone else's. 2 Timothy 3. 1:4-1:6. It's amazing, isn't it? But as for you, continue in what you have learned to become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. Okay? Your mentors, Jesus. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, I used a phrase, right? Like, don't you wish, like you can't make stories like this up. Like, this happens, and you just go, you can't make this kind of stuff up. May I just tell you that when it comes to your recipe for life and your philosophy of life and your value system and what you think is right and wrong, you can't make it up. You're not allowed. There are right answers, and there are wrong answers. Some ideas are better than other ideas. Some answers are right. Some answers are wrong. And nobody's looking for an answer full of right and wrong answers. They're looking for truth. A little bit later, Timothy goes on to say, man, you got to be careful, because there's coming a time when people are going to just make stuff up because they want it to be true. And we live in a time like that. He did too. Okay, let's be clear. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, he lived in a time like that too. Sometimes we get so self-absorbed, we think, this is the only time it's ever been this bad. Let me just say this, okay? Shut up. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, if you, like, I'm going to say something so offensive, and I hope it's not recorded, but it's too late. Man, there you are. There's never been a time when people didn't say, oh, Jesus must be coming soon because of the, oh, it's terrible. Look at how awful it is. Nobody has ever sat and said, well, you know what? There ain't no way Jesus is coming now. Things are too good. Now, I've probably said this here before, but if you are a white middle-class Christian living in the United States of America, you should be saying, Jesus ain't coming now. It's too good. Like, there's nothing in our lives that should tell us that it's so horrible. We create the idea that things are worse than they are. And what people need are not people that are doom and gloom. That's not the kind of pie people are looking for. They're looking for people that say, there's hope. There's reason. There's purpose. There's value. There's love. These things really matter. All right, we got the right cook. We got the right recipe. We got to follow the directions. All right, you got to do something with this that turns it into something that people actually want. In Revelation chapter 3:14-16, it's incredible. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Have you ever done that with a piece of pie? Or, like, have you ever been in a place and you put something in your mouth and it's like, no, this ain't right. There's no way I can. Some of you guys are like, no, you don't want to talk about this right now. Like, you've had to lean into your napkin to get that out. Or you like, excuse me just a moment. And you had to leave the room. Okay? This is the image that Jesus is giving us about what some lives end up being like. They're just distasteful. They're not fulfilling their purpose. And so one of the things that can happen to us is we can get, again, all the ingredients, we can believe all the right things, but it isn't about believing, it's about living them. And so if you just put these things, let's be clear, if you just took all these things and put them in a bowl and mixed them up, you're still not going to want to eat that. It's not even going to taste like what you want it to taste like. It's not just having the pieces right, it's combining them correctly. And how do we do that? Well, Jesus gives us some answer. I'm sorry, it's the wrong numbers, okay? I just tell you, it's the wrong numbers. But it's got a lot of the right numbers in it. John chapter 13, 34, 35. It's like kinda, okay? Jesus says this, I'm giving you a new command. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is how people will know that you're my disciples. This is how people will know that there's hope, if you love one another. Now, I want to be clear. We live in a time where one of the slogans of the world is love. That's about emotion. That's not about what's best for people. And the reality is that Jesus loved us better than anybody else, but he also told the truth about things. And right now in this aimless world, people are looking for truth with love, speaking the truth in love, Paul says in Ephesians. And so this isn't just about, oh, just love is love and we all have to just feel whatever we want to feel. That's not helpful. And as a person that's passionate about children, it's really hurting children because it's teaching them to follow their feelings. And how many of you guys followed your feelings right into the ditch at some point in your life? Like, that's not a good way to make decisions, okay? But another discussion. James says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. What is it that we're supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to serve people. We're supposed to be generous. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to tell. We're supposed to preach. We're supposed to reflect the fruit of the Spirit. If you want something to work on in your life, go to Galatians 5:22-23 and read the fruit of the Spirit. Because every Christian filled with the Spirit ought to reflect love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if you look at that list and you say, wow, I got a little bit of patience, but I ain't all that great with the love part, then that's something for you to work on. Because first of all, fruit pies are better than the, like, stuff with nuts and nonsense like that in it. Okay, forget it. That's just not good. Someone's going to say, no, it's not true. The filling of the pie matters. What are you filled with? And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit takes control, you become filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And it's a great list for you to check out. I'll ask you this. What if every person just living in Dubuque, okay, well, just we're Dubuque Church. What if everybody living in Dubuque knew somebody that was incredibly generous because they followed Jesus? What if every person at a workplace knew somebody, a fellow employee, a supervisor, that was kind and gentle because they followed Jesus? In other words, they were able to give the reason for why they were that way. Because it's what people want. It's what people are looking for in a difficult world. We got to cook, we got a recipe, we got to follow the directions, and then finally, we got to be prepared to share. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. First, I want to say this, it takes preparation. It is not easy to speak the name of Jesus publicly to people. And some people are like, oh, I'll tell them about Jesus when we get there. Now, I want to just be straight, okay? I'm chief among sinners in this, okay? People ask me, I'm kind of like, well, I'm a person of faith. That doesn't help anybody. So's a Buddhist. So's a Satanist, if you want to be just real blunt. So's an atheist. Everybody's a person of faith. Everybody has a faith about how they think the world works. And that's not going to save anybody. I got to be prepared to tell what people need regardless of the consequences. But before you even get to that part, and this is such a convicting thing for me, is anybody even asking you? Like, is there anything in your life that reflects Jesus so much that people are saying, what's up with you? Okay, now I want to be clear. People ask questions all the time, but this is not going to help you get there. Why are you so grumpy? That's not going to get you to Jesus, okay? Why are you so cold and distant? Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry all the time? My favorite one. Why are you so silly? Because it's fun. But no one's going to get to Jesus by asking me what's wrong with me. Now, I'm not advocating perfection. I'm just saying, is anybody asking you a question that can lead you to share Jesus? Like, this is convicting stuff. Why are you so kind? Why are you so nice? Why are you so generous? Why do you care about me when nobody else does? And then they ask. Now, I've worked with kids for a long time, okay? So to be clear, kids have asked me these kinds of questions because it's my job to be nice, not because I actually care, okay? Just to be clear. No, I'm just kidding. I love the kids, and they come to me, and they will say, why? And I would say, oh, you know, I'm just trying to do the best I can to be a good person. And that person goes out of there, and how's that going to help them? How's that going to, they've got the pie, but they don't get the recipe. And the only way that they can possibly know, they can say, I knew a guy once who was nice to me. But that doesn't help them. We should be people who live the way that Peter and John did. Now, again, I'm getting a little loose around the numbers, but in Acts chapter 4:13, okay, it's close, all right? It's a little tweaking on the pie. Peter and John have just healed a paralytic guy, and they get hauled before the Sanhedrin because they're like, oh my gosh, what are these people doing? This is crazy. We can't control this anymore. And it says about the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, I want to be clear. we need to be prepared, whether or not it's because people are attracted to us or be because they are offended by us. The context here is not the people were like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. They were with Jesus, I want to be like that. The Sanhedrin was like, oh my goodness, they're doing stuff we can't control. They were with Jesus. And they actually wanted to eliminate them. They wanted to kill them. And Peter says this in 3:14, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. It's always been so. The people who create a pie that reflects Jesus, they smell. It says it right there in 2 Corinthians 2.1416. So close. It says that we are the aroma of Christ to those who are perishing, those who are dying, and those who are being saved. The same pie smells great to people who are looking for hope, who are looking for love, who are looking for forgiveness, who are looking for peace, who are looking for redemption. But when people are looking for power and self-control and self-righteousness, our same pie stinks to them. And we have to be prepared for that. We have this idea that if we go and live for Jesus, everybody's going to like us. Nobody liked Jesus at the end. So we shouldn't expect that we will always get a positive reception for our really well-constructed pie. It's always been true. We need to remember that we're making a pie not actually for other people, but as an offering, a sacrificial offering to God, which, believe it or not, brings us back to Daniel 3:14-15. We got back to Daniel. Jeff Vanna saved you. We got back to Daniel, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And that's the challenge. Did you already preach this one? Ah, too bad, I'm stealing your show. And you guys, those of you who've been hanging around church world know the answer. They're like, if we die, we die. But our lives are not being offered to you. They're being offered to God. God can save us, but if he doesn't, okay. Because I'm not interested in what you think of me. I'm interested in what God thinks of me. Quick summary. Have you accepted Jesus? Some of you need to accept Jesus. You need to accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins for real. Not just believe that it happened, but believe that it happened for you. All of us need to renew our relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. Are you connected with the right recipe? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you learning what the Word says so that you can compare your ideas with what Scripture teaches? Do you know all this stuff already, but you're just sitting with a pile of ingredients? Like, you could make an apple pie, but you haven't put it all together. Like, you go to church and you pray sometimes and you read the Bible sometimes and you're nice to people, but you haven't put it into a fragrant aroma that will attract people to ask you why. And are you prepared to give an answer? If everybody had pie like this, if everybody knew someone who lived like this in such a way that their lives were like a pie that everybody wanted the recipe to, what would happen? Well, people would come up to you and they would say, why are you like this? And they might even say this, who sent you into my life? And in the words of the Lord Almighty from Exodus 3:14, you could say, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, to those who ask, I am God has sent me to you. May we be people who are asked that question, who sent me? Amen.